Right, well, we're coming together now and we're going to think about the subject of giving. As elders, we look from time to time at what is being taught in the church. Obviously, Barnaby has the main responsibility for that, but together we did feel that it would be good at least once a year to address the topic of giving. And you can imagine all the elders queued up with great enthusiasm as to who might represent them in bringing this message. But in actual fact, it befell to me. So there we go. I think that giving is an important topic. It's sometimes a very misunderstood topic. And it's good just to have a biblical basis looking through the scriptures as to why we talk about giving at all. We recognize in the Old Testament that God's people, they gave tithes and offerings, and the purpose was very straightforward, really. It was to maintain the work of God. It was to care for the temple or what other structure was around, whether it was a tabernacle, indeed a synagogue. The idea was that the house of God, in whatever shape or form it was around, that it should be provided for. And in fact, the scriptures often refer to the fact that people were a bit inclined to look after their own house, and they were neglecting the house of God. And that was a very strong challenge brought to the people of God. Now today, when we talk about the house of God, we know we're talking about the body of Christ. We're not just talking about a building. But at the same time, we certainly value having our own building. There's enough clearing up to do afterwards, having your own building. But the days when some met in schools and other halls and everything had to be put away, it was very tiresome and very difficult. But we know the building needs maintaining. We also recognize in the Old Testament that the Levites, they received some financial help because this released them to do the work that they did in the temple, in the services. So it was straightforward. It wasn't sort of a big pressurized thing. It was a responsible thing for God's people to be involved in. When we look at the ministry of Jesus, big jump, but when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we know that Jesus also talked about giving. And he was particularly concerned to point out the unhelpful nature of the Pharisees, where giving was a bit of a show, a bit of a performance. And it was all about demonstrating how godly they were and how kind and generous they were in putting vast sums into the temple treasury. But we know that the observation of Jesus watching this one day, he had little time for those Pharisees, but he had a lot of time for a poor widow who gave what in currency terms would hardly be measured. I've actually got some currency from foreign countries that if I gave it to you, it wouldn't be much of a gift because it's worth next to nothing. What she gave in monetary terms was not worth very much at all. But what Jesus commended was her attitude, her love, her generosity, her sacrifice in giving. And then moving further to the early church, we see that the early church from day one had a kind of a motto, which was that there should be no needy person among them. And they were very, very committed to making sure that as their numbers were added to, those who were coming into the church who had very real physical material need, that they should not be at a disadvantage. And we know that they quite painstakingly tried to work that out, particularly for widows and orphans, where they felt a particularly keen and strong responsibility. But they did respond to it. And we know how there comes the time when they appoint some people in order to make sure that the job is being done fairly and properly. And we see that going on. We see that grace of God that is very evident among them. We also see in Acts chapter 5 that when there was this overwhelming response, perhaps, to the poor, and people came and they laid at the apostles' feet sums of money that came from sale of land and so on, what we recognize is that God is again most incredibly interested in the heart. Where the early church was almost on the verge of falling into accusations of corruption and deceit and bad things, Ananias and Sapphira, who were thoroughly dishonest and deceitful, giving the impression that they were giving everything from a sale, when in fact they were keeping a certain amount back. We don't know how much, but God intervenes and judges, and both those two drop dead, which is a pretty hard thing to get your head around, but it was a reality. And I think that it was God saying, the use of money, the care of God's people, it's got to be right. It's got to be with integrity. It's got to be with care and thoughtfulness. And so we can see a pattern of giving is emerging. But in the New Testament, you will not find direct comments in terms of you should give this and you should give that. The Old Testament, the talk of a tithe, was very much there. The New Testament does not actually say you must give a tithe. However, what Paul does in his letter to the Corinthians, he introduces us to an attitude towards giving, which is really very, very helpful. And he talks to the Corinthians about developing the grace of giving. Now, that in itself is a fairly contradictory phrase to some, because some people associate giving with pain, and how am I going to manage if I give this? And all sorts of questions raised, and graciousness can be very low on the list when it comes to people's approach to giving. But that's what Paul is wanting to talk about, and that's what 2 Corinthians 8 in particular speaks about, the grace of giving. Therefore, there is the expectation that people will give, but the most important thing is to know the grace of God in your own heart and life, and then to respond to what the Lord is saying. And therefore, it is quite wrong for any mission church to say, you must do this, because that's not grace. Grace, of course, is not just do what you like either. But grace is that understanding, that quality of responding to a situation with a real sensitivity to God's love and God's goodness and to what God has given to us. Now, again, in the context of 2 Corinthians 8, it is important to understand that Paul is talking to the Corinthians about a problem that had emerged a little while ago, in terms of their time, a problem where there had been famine. And again, without any heavy-handedness at all, Paul had taken it upon himself, as he had the privilege of ministering to many churches and bringing people to a knowledge of the love and the goodness of God, bringing people to a knowledge of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Paul simply shares with those churches, look, there is this need. There is this situation. I want you to be aware of it. And many of the churches, particularly the Macedonian churches, had responded to this news with great enthusiasm. Almost, if you read the verses again, almost to Paul's embarrassment. He's looking at the Macedonians, he's saying, you know, wow, you're giving way and beyond whatever could be expected. But the grace of giving is upon you. You are not responding simply because of the need. You are not responding simply because I, the Apostle Paul, have said you should. What is happening is that there's a dynamic of God that has touched your heart and released your giving. And Paul is really quite struck by this. And what he's doing in sharing with the Corinthians, he's simply saying, look, about a year ago, I mentioned this situation. You were very enthusiastic. You said that you would respond. And frankly, not too much has been happening. And therefore, what I want to do, Paul is saying, is I want you to be inspired by the Macedonians and how the Christians in those churches have responded. And I am not coming with a heavy hammer over your head, but I'm simply saying, if you've expressed an enthusiasm, if you've expressed a desire to respond and to give, then it is good that you do what you said. Now, this all is important for us because we have to be careful when we promise God things in anything, anyway, that what we are seeking to do is to do what we said we would do before God. And that's absolutely central to our giving, that we have not been pressured. Paul, the treasurer, hasn't visited us with a form which gives a minimum amount, and so you've got to do it. The response is a sense of, what is God saying to me? And of course, once we put things into the category of what God is saying to us, there has to be maximum flexibility. There has to be freedom for people to respond how God is speaking to them. I can't tell you God has told you to do this. That's not my prerogative. I can be before God about what he has told me to give, but you have to decide before God what he is saying to you. And so there's that lovely phrase where Paul says they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And that is his key explanation for this sometimes almost extravagant, generous, over the top giving. It's because they gave themselves to the Lord. And it's good for us just to ponder, what does that mean? It doesn't simply mean that we've said a prayer at some time, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. That's fantastic, that's good, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to have some meat on the bone. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And I think very simply, it is important to simply say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And it is good to ask the Lord today what he's saying to you. Because your circumstances may be very different today to what they were in the past. And therefore, hearing from God as to what he wants you to do today in every area, not just giving, but in every area, it's responding to the grace of God. God is giving you the freedom. He's giving us the freedom to look responsibly at our current circumstances, with fuel prices rising and food prices rising and all of the things going on around us. God is saying, come to me, put me first, and I will show you what is appropriate, what is right for you. And no one else can dictate. No one else can say, oh, that's not much. And no one else can say, I think that's an awful lot. Whatever. It's people deciding, giving themselves first to the Lord. And we are giving ourselves to the Lord, who is super abundant in grace, which is why today we very deliberately had the communion first. And it's also why very deliberately we had the offering first, so that you don't give after the message in whatever way. You give and you gave before you heard the message. But as far as the communion is concerned, the grace of God. God gave everything. Jesus gave himself totally, unconditionally. He didn't give part of himself, he gave all of himself. The Lord Jesus gave himself on the cross to save us from our sin and to bring us to God and deliver us from hell and Satan and death. He did all that out of a heart of tremendous compassion, and he knew what it was going to involve. It wasn't careless, it wasn't reckless. It wasn't something that later he regretted. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's having this moment of challenge. What his father saying, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. And I believe that would be a tremendous outcome of thinking about this subject of giving. To simply say, I have talked to God, I have sought God to show me what he's saying to me at this time. And where that goes, as I've said, that is between you and God. They gave themselves first to the Lord. They wanted him to be first in their marriages. They wanted him to be first in their family life. They wanted him to be first in the way they live at work. In every area, in the church, they wanted God to be first. And if we truly want God to be first, he will show us. And that means, I talked about freedom, that means that God may say, in the current circumstances, you shouldn't be giving what you were, you should be giving less, because you have responsibilities within the home. But start somewhere. One of the things that's so impressive about our African friends and people in poorer parts of the world is their enthusiasm to give what seems to be very little. But that doesn't matter, because the heart is in the right place. When they have their offerings, they talk about giving time, celebration time. And I've possibly said from the pulpit before, one is always amazed how the offering in some of the churches, even in London, is very different to here. They are coming, dancing up the aisles, and it's not extravagant like the Pharisees. You don't know what they're giving, but they see it as a celebration. I don't quite sense that in Lancing Tab, but perhaps I'm wrong. But this is very much the spirit of the Macedonian churches. This is the spirit of the grace of giving. The grace of giving is recognizing that God has given us everything. We have given our lives to him. We want all that we are and all that we do to be under his lordship. And therefore, we are careful to think about our giving in every area, including what we give financially. Now, we said in the Old Testament they gave to support the Levites so that they could get on with the work in the temple without having to have a secular job. And we certainly honour that principle. That's why we pay a pastor. And that's why we're considering other roles that could be in the life of the church, where someone is given some income, some financial remuneration, in order that they can do the job unhindered. And we want to respond with care, with prayer, to these different things. But what we don't want is any guilt. Because that's the opposite to grace. Grace has brought us peace with God. Law brings us back under guilt. Oh, I'm failing. I should do this. It's good to say, do I recognize that God is at work? Do I recognize that things that need to be done? After all, we have experienced this. The gift to the food bank and a few other things to the needs of the building, it's been phenomenal. One might describe that one has excelled in the grace of giving in those areas. And that's great to observe and see. But Paul says something else. Look again in the scripture. He says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. What he's saying is, that's okay. What he's saying is, he's saying it's so much a privilege and a blessing that I indicated a need, I shared with you a particular situation, Paul is saying, and you responded. Now, he said it was first and foremost to God, but he's recognizing that people thought about his heart to care for those suffering from famine, and they said, we want to help. But certainly what Elaine and I have found with Living Hope is that what is more rewarding than anything is when people say, I was praying about what you were doing, I was praying about that particular place you were going, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to give to that. I remember right at the beginning of Living Hope in 1994 that I was heading for Africa. In terms of secular occupation, I was redundant, I had no income, and people were aware, and there was one couple in particular who I have little contact with these days, as it happens, but there was a couple who heard about the situation, and they said, or rather the Lord said to them, we want you to give £100 to help Richard in this trip to Kenya. And they said, well, we'd love to, but we haven't got it. And so they prayed, and I don't know how long the time lag was. I think within a few days, they heard a rattle at their letterbox. And they went to their house, to the letterbox, and they saw on the floor an envelope. And inside the envelope was £100. There was no note on it. It was simply a gift. So they put it in another envelope and put it through our door. Now, we've proved the grace of giving. Giving is hearing from God. As a church, we don't want to do things because we think they're bright ideas, but neither do we want to look at a situation and say, that's impossible, we haven't got the money. It's much more important to look at the situation and say, has God said? And if God has said, he will provide. And we've proved that as a couple for many, many, many years. I'll tell you another little story. I was in a situation where I was traveling. I was about 18, 19. And I was traveling with some others to a meeting in Norwich, not Carrow Road. To a meeting in Norwich, and when we got back, an older man in the car said, we need to help the man who's driven with a gift. And I thought, well, that's a good idea, but all I've got is my dinner money. And that was literally it. And so I thought, what do I do? And I thought, I've just got to trust God, I will give it. It wasn't a vast sum, obviously. The next day, I was walking by the refectory, the sort of dining area, and a man came up to me, an older student, who I haven't seen for years, but he came up to me and he said, I want you to have my dinner ticket. And all you need do is present this ticket and you will have lunch. And I was amazed. I probably had a better lunch than I would with the money I had in my pocket. But God is gracious. When we obey him in little things or bigger things, he will provide. Paul says, you excel in so many ways. And you've got the list there. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in the love. You're doing so well. But now he says, it would be so good for you to excel in this grace of giving. The Lord Jesus excelled in the grace of giving. He held, as we've said, he held nothing back. He gave himself totally, fully to purchase our salvation. I think it was William Carey who said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. And that's the key. It's not just sort of crazy schemes and things up in the air with no roots in reality. If it's God's work, if it's being done in God's way, he will provide. Now, that's where we wanted to be today with you, the grace of giving. Not talking about amounts, even open, as I've said, to adjustments that could go lower. Paul is frowning, or could go higher. But that's not the issue. The issue is that our giving comes from waiting on God, listening to God. And may the Lord help us to be gracious. There are so many needs out there. Let me, closing, just make one or two comments. No one would question what has been done to help people in the Ukraine. It's been an overwhelming outpouring. And if you talk to people before that, oh no, you know, my budget is very tight and it's very hard, it's very difficult. But when that situation arose, that there was an outpouring of generosity, quite extraordinary. But we are God's people. It was not bad at all to give to the Ukraine or to any other cause. But you see, we are called to give according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Much giving, even charitable giving, comes out of guilt. It comes out of the media stimulation. And when something isn't in the news anymore, very often the interest to support that starts to dwindle because it has been primed and motivated by pictures, interviews, and all of that. But we're God's people, and we can excel in the grace of giving because it's not how much is in the news, it's not facts and figures, it's not emotive stories or tremendously challenging pictures. We respond because God has spoken to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all that you've given to us in Christ, for the great riches at Christ's expense, for the incredible selflessness that you showed, Lord Jesus, in giving yourself to us. Lord, we pray that we would be attentive to your voice in every area of our life, including our giving. Let us not talk about how much, but simply, what are you saying? And if we begin very, very small, we remember that widow who was honoured because of her heart, not because of the amount she gave. So, Lord God, help us, and help us always to respond to you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.